Ekatra Podcast Conversations, for the curious essential knowledge, simplified. Your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome back, everyone. Today we're diving into a book that, honestly, might just change how you see, well, everything. It's Luciano Floridi's Information. A very short introduction.
It really is a fundamental rethink. Floridi isn't just talking about tech or data in isolation. He's making this huge claim. He says information theory is now the key to understanding our reality.
And he calls this moment, we're in the fourth revolution. That sounds significant.
It is, profoundly. So our mission today is to really unpack that. What does it actually mean when a top philosopher says information is basically the stuff reality is made of? And why should you care right now?
Right. It boils down to Floridi's core question, doesn't it? How do we understand ourselves when everything, our whole existence, seems to be filtered through information?
Exactly. It requires a whole new mindset, a conceptual toolkit.
Okay, before we get into the toolkit, let's talk about the thinker behind it. Who exactly is Luciano Floridi?
Floridi. Yeah. He's really the authority here. He's a professor of philosophy and ethics of information at Oxford University, runs the digital ethics lab there too. He's genuinely one of the world's leading minds on this.
Philosophy and ethics of information.
Mm.
That's not exactly Plato or Aristotle, is it? It sounds very new.
Well, it kind of is new, or at least he shaped it into what it is today. Floridi basically pioneered these fields, philosophy of information, often called PI, and information ethics.
So he didn't just comment on the digital age, he actually built the philosophical framework for talking about it properly.
Precisely. And what makes his contribution so valuable, especially in a book like this, very short introduction, is how he connects the dots. He links the, you know, the technical side, Shannon, Turing, the engineers with deep philosophy.
Making it accessible, right?
Yeah.
He gives us terms to grasp these huge shifts. Concepts like, what were they? The infosphere on life.
Exactly. Infosphere on life and the infor. We'll definitely dig into those. They're his way of giving us a language for changes we all feel but maybe can't quite articulate.
Perfect segue then. Let's get to the heart of the book. What's the central argument Floridi is making here?
Okay, the main thrust fundamentally is ontological. He's saying information isn't just something in the world. It's becoming the very fabric of the world. It constitutes reality and defines our new primary environment.
Which he calls the infosphere.
The infosphere, exactly. Right. And it's not just a metaphor for the internet. It is our reality now.
That's a mind bender. Most of us think of information as, you know, something we look up on Google or a file we download, a tool.
Right. And Floridi says that view is outdated. He points out the problem. We are swimming, maybe even drowning in data, just endless streams of it.
Tell me about it.
But we lack the philosophical framework to make sense of it all, to manage it, critique it effectively. So this book, it offers those conceptual tools, that critical thinking kit for the digital age.
It covers a lot of ground, doesn't it? From the very mathematical start of information theory.
Yeah, Shannon's work.
All the way to what it means for biology, physics, even consciousness, and ethics, especially ethics.
It shows how this informational perspective can kind of unify things. He wants us to see information not just as an IT issue, but as a fundamental principle running through, well, everything, from quantum mechanics to your social media feed.
Okay, let's build it up like he does. Where does he start? The definition, right? What is information, according to this framework?
He has to start there.
Yeah.
And he begins with Claude Shannon back in the 1940s. Shannon's theory was purely mathematical. It was about the syntax.
Syntax meaning the structure, not the content.
Exactly. For Shannon, information was just a quantity. It was about the reduction of uncertainty. You measure it in bits.
And the crucial part there, as you mentioned, is that Shannon deliberately ignored meaning. He didn't care what the message was about.
Nope. Only how much uncertainty it reduced, how efficiently you could send it, which is fine for engineering, but not so great for understanding human life.
Right.
So Floridi introduces what he calls the general definition of information, the GDI. And it's simple, but powerful. Information equals data plus meaning. The data has to be well-formed, and it has to mean something, refer to something.
Okay, data plus meaning, but does it have to be true? Because misinformation, lies, they definitely have meaning.
Ah, that's the brilliant part. And it's so relevant today. According to the GDI, information doesn't have to be true.
Really?
Yes. Misinformation, errors, lies, fiction, a story. If it's well-formed data and it's meaningful, it is semantic information. Yeah. Knowledge is the higher category. Knowledge is information that is also true and crucially accounted for, meaning you have justification for believing it.
A distinction is vital, isn't it? Especially now with fake news and everything online, it helps you see the landscape, tons of information flying around, but actual knowledge is much rarer.
Exactly. So if information is this fundamental force shaping our reality, how does it change our environment and us?
This is where the infosphere comes in.
Yes. The infosphere. Think of it as the totality, the entire environment made up of information, including all informational entities, their properties, interactions, processes.
But people talked about cyberspace for ages. How is the infosphere different? Is it just a new buzzword?
It's much more fundamental than cyberspace. Cyberspace often implied a separate place you go online. The infosphere is our primary environment now. It's the blend.
The blend.
Yeah, the blend of physical and virtual. It's recognizing that a modern city isn't just bricks and mortar. It's also the sensor networks, the traffic algorithms, the communication flows. Yeah. They all constitute the city. It's not separate.
So it's not parallel to reality. It is the reality we inhabit.
Precisely. And our experience in that blended reality is what Flaherty calls on life.
On life. Okay.
The idea is that the old line between being online and offline, it's basically gone.
Yeah.
Or it's so blurred it doesn't mean much anymore. Our lives are this seamless integration.
That feels true. I mean, when am I ever truly offline anymore? My phone is always there.
Right. And if the environment changes so drastically, then we, the inhabitants, must be changing too.
Which leads to the infork.
The inforg, the informational organism. That's us, or what we're becoming.
Explain that a bit more, an informational organism.
It means we're beings whose identity, our memories, our social connections, even our sense of self are becoming deeply, inextricably interwoven with information flows. Think about it. Your social media profile isn't just about you. It partly constructs who you are perceived to be, maybe even how you see yourself.
When your news feed shapes your worldview, or an algorithm decides your loan application?
You're functioning as an inforg within the infosphere. Your data isn't just describing you, it's actively shaping your life and identity.
That's quite a statement. Does Flaherty see this information principle only in our digital lives, or does he argue it's more fundamental even in nature?
Oh, absolutely fundamental. He argues information is constitutive of reality itself, well beyond technology. The classic example is genetics. Right. DNA's four-letter alphabet A, C, G, T, it's a biological information storage and transmission system. It literally encodes the instructions for building and operating almost every living thing. Information is the organizing principle.
And he even connects this to physics, right? Something about Maxwell's demon, that always sounded a bit abstract.
It is a thought experiment, but the implication is huge. Maxwell's demon explores the link between information and thermodynamics, specifically entropy. The upshot is that processing information, even just knowing something or erasing a bit of data, has a real physical cost in energy.
So information isn't just abstract symbols, it's tied to the physical laws of the universe.
That's the implication. It suggests information might be a fundamental physical quantity, like mass or energy. It hints that maybe the universe itself could be understood as a giant information processing system.
Wow. Okay. But the biggest shift, the one he calls the fourth revolution, that's driven by AI, right?
Yes, the Turing revolution, following Alan Turing. Flaherty puts this in context with three earlier revolutions that decentered humanity.
Okay, what were they?
First, Copernicus kicked us out of the center of the cosmos. Second, Darwin showed we weren't separate from the animal kingdom, decentering us biologically. Third, Freud challenged the idea that we fully understand our own minds, decentering our rational self-knowledge.
And now, Turing and AI.
Challenge the uniqueness of human reason itself. If machines can perform tasks we thought required intelligence, sometimes even better than us. Well, what makes human thinking special?
It really forces that question about consciousness, doesn't it? Is complex information processing enough to be conscious?
It puts the question squarely on the table. Flaherty doesn't necessarily claim AI is conscious, but his framework gives us the tools to grapple with what intelligence and consciousness even mean in this new landscape.
Okay, there's so much here. Let's try to synthesize. If you had to pull out, say, the three biggest philosophical takeaways or messages from the book, what would they be?
Right. First, I'd say it's the ontological turn. This core idea that information isn't just about reality, it is a fundamental feature of reality. It offers a unifying way to look across disciplines, from physics to sociology. It's a new lens on existence itself.
A new way of seeing everything. Okay, what's second?
Second is the urgent call for information ethics and moral expansion. This is where it gets really practical and maybe controversial.
How so? Moral expansion.
Floridi argues we need to extend our moral considerations beyond the usual suspects, humans, maybe animals, to include non-sentient things like data itself, algorithms, information systems.
Wait, give moral consideration to .code. How does that work? Are we saying algorithms have rights?
Not rights in the human sense. It's not about them feeling anything. It's about recognizing their impact, because these systems and data structures profoundly shape our lives, our opportunities, our health, our society. They have moral significance. We need to care for the health of the infosphere, its integrity, because it directly impacts our own well-being as inforks.
Okay, I see. It's about the impact on us. And the third key message.
It has to be human agency, the absolute imperative to stay in the driver's seat. We need to consciously design and govern the infosphere and the AI within it according to human values, fairness, dignity, autonomy, not just optimize for pure efficiency or let the technology dictate our future.
We have to actively shape it, not just react to it.
Exactly. That's the challenge.
And Floridi has such memorable ways of putting these ideas. You mentioned the key terms earlier. Maybe we can revisit a few core quotes or concepts.
Definitely. His phrasing really sticks. Let's take three first. We are witnessing the fourth revolution in human self-understanding.
That just lands the scale of it, doesn't it? It's not just new gadgets. It's an existential shift like Copernicus or Darwin.
Right. Second, and this is so key for navigating daily life online, information is not just about data, but about data plus meaning plus truth. Well, actually, let me correct that slightly based on our earlier chat. It's more like knowledge involves truth. Information itself is data plus meaning.
Ah, right. The GDI. Data plus meaning. And knowledge is where truth comes in.
Yes. And remembering that distinction helps you see why misinformation is still information. It's meaningful data, even if false. It sharpens your critical thinking.
Definitely. And the third one.
We are becoming information organisms living in the infosphere.
The inforg in the infosphere.
That's the transformation of identity. It captures the blurring lines, the on life, the fact that our digital and physical selves are merging. We live in this information environment now.
Okay, let's make this super practical. Someone listening thinks, all right, interesting ideas.
Yeah.
But how do I actually use this tomorrow?
Great question. First off, enhanced digital literacy. Use that GDI framework we talked about. Information equals data plus meaning, but it doesn't automatically equal knowledge, which requires truth and justification.
So when I see something go viral,
pause. Ask, okay, this is definitely meaningful data. It's information, but is it true? Is it properly accounted for? Where's the evidence? That simple step moves you from just consuming to critically evaluating.
That's a powerful filter.
Yeah.
What else? You mentioned infords and identity.
Right. That leads to rethinking privacy. Floridi reframes privacy. It's not just about hiding embarrassing secrets. It's more fundamental. It's the right to construct and control your own identity as an inforg.
So managing my data isn't just about security. It's about managing myself.
Exactly. Who gets to define you? Which platforms, which algorithms shape your informational self? Understanding privacy this way should make you way more conscious about the data you share and the apps you use.
And for people actually building this stuff, developers, designers, policymakers?
For them, it demands ethical design and governance. It's a call to build systems that aren't just efficient or profitable, but are sensitive to human values. It means embedding ethics into the design process, value-sensitive design, and ensuring there's always meaningful human oversight for automated decisions. Keep humans in the loop where it matters.
This is really a framework for responsible action in the digital age.
Absolutely. Use these concepts to actively shape the infosphere for the better.
Reflecting on all this, what was the biggest surprise or aha moment for you in Floridi's work? For me, I think it was that connection to fundamental physics, the idea that information might be a basic physical quantity. That just blew my mind a bit.
Yeah, that's definitely mind-bending. For me, I think the most lasting insight is that core paradigm shift he forces on you, moving from seeing information as just a tool we use, something external, to recognizing it as fundamental to what we are.
As inforgs.
As inforgs. Realizing we're not just users of the infosphere, we are inhabitants within it. And the challenge, the real takeaway, is that we have agency. We can and must consciously shape this environment rather than just letting technology sweep us along. We're the architects, like it or not.
A really powerful and, I think, necessary framework for navigating the world today. An indispensable guide.
Couldn't agree more.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker. Another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.